Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening and praise the Lord. I'm so happy everyone enjoyed their Thanksgiving and everyone is preparing themselves for the new year that's coming. Well, before we get there, the Lord's here with us right now. That's right. He's right here in our midst. The Bible says, when two or three are gathered together in his name, there he is in the midst. So that means he's here with us. Praise the Lord. We're happy that the Lord has seen fit to be with us. Welcome to Miracle Internet Church. I'm Pastor Sabrina, and Brother Bill is here, and Brother Marshall is here, and you're here, and the Lord is here, and we're fine. We're blessed. Amen. So we just want to thank all of you for joining us, for supporting the ministry, for coming to listen and participate and grow in the things of the Lord. You know, many persons that consider themselves Christian don't participate in any religious or spiritual activity at all. They just consider themselves to be Christians. That's it. But you're different, and we bless the Lord for you. Amen. We pray for you, and we ask the Lord to bless you, and we can tell that he's doing just that. Amen. I want to thank all of you for your prayers, for the leadership, for our rest, for our restoration. It's much needed. And we thank you for continuing in prayer for us. Amen. The Lord is strengthening us because we have many feats to do in Christ. He has tasks for us to do. He has assignments for us in the spirit realm. And so we have to take time to be refreshed so that we'll be ready when he calls us to the battle. Amen? Amen. That's just the truth. That's the way it is. So we want to thank the Lord for all the blessings that are happening in your lives. I can see that many of you are growing. You're getting a hold of things. You're starting to understand. And you're listening to the Lord. Excuse me. So I just want to thank you for praying for us, for praying for your brethren. Amen. There's some of us that are having a bit of a difficult time due to personal issues and family situations. And so I want you to keep your brethren and sister in Christ lifted up, because they need your support. They need your encouragement in the Lord. Amen? You see, when the devil attacks one of us or two of us or three of us or however many of us severely, we all respond because we respond in the love of Jesus Christ. Amen? So we're going to continue to lift each other up in prayer. We're going to continue to pray for one another and support one another, and the Lord is going to intercede for all of us and lift us all up. Amen. Amen. So tonight the Lord has some things that he wants to say to us, and he wants us to really pay attention. You see, it's a dangerous thing to listen to a message and then interpret it through your own opinion. Well, what do you mean by that, Pastor? Well, recently I asked someone, what was the title for Sunday's message? And that person said to me, say the name of Jesus. I said, wrong. That was not the title of the message. That's not what God said. That's not what he was talking about. That's not what the Lord said. The title of Sunday's message was, Use My Name. And at the end of the message, I encouraged everyone to recast the broadcast so they could really hear what God said. You see, the first time you listen, you kind of get a surface understanding. But after you've listened to it about two or three times, you really begin to grab hold of the message that the Lord is imparting. If, like that person, you decided that the title of the message and what God wanted you to do was say the name of Jesus, you missed the point of the message. So I would encourage you to recast Sunday's broadcast so you can hear what the Lord is saying to you. Amen? Amen. Now we have a couple of little housekeeping things we need to talk about. You know, we've asked everyone, in fact, it's right across the banner in our Global Prayer Warriors prayer room, if you could limit each entry to 5 lines. And some of us have forgotten that because we're all the way to 20 lines. 20 lines is a bit much. 5 lines is what we request. It's right there at the top. Also, MIC Radio chat room has an orange background. The Global Prayer Warriors prayer room has a blue background. One is orange, one is blue. So when you want to leave a prayer request, make sure you're in the Global Prayer Warriors prayer room. Amen? Thank you. That's beautiful. Now, there have been a couple of other little housekeeping issues that we've addressed, some of you individually. Please keep those things in mind. But in general, we have some new listeners, so I will make this announcement again for everyone. In the Global Prayer Warriors prayer room, it's not like a home prayer meeting. In a home prayer meeting, you go around the room and everybody tells what their prayer request is and ask everybody to pray for it. That is not what the Global Prayer Warriors prayer room is about. That is not how the Lord began it. It's not how he's blessing it. And that's not what we do. In the Global Prayer Warriors prayer room, it's a room for you to pray to God himself. It is not a room where you ask us to pray for you. No, that's not a place for you to list all the details of whatever is wrong or whatever is bothering you and tell us you want us to pray for you. That's not what that is. That's what they do at home prayer meetings, but not in the Global Prayer Warriors prayer room. In the Global Prayer Warriors prayer room, you are doing the praying, and you are praying to your Heavenly Father in the name of Jesus Christ. And you direct your comments to him, not to us. We are not God. We do not answer prayers. So therefore, you need to direct your prayers to the one who answers prayers. Amen? It should sound a little like this. Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, the dog scratched the cat, and the cat scratched back. Father, your word says that there should be peace in my home. I thank you for reestablishing peace in Jesus' name. And then you put the scriptures that you're standing on. And all of the rest of us come in and we add our agreement. First and foremost, we agree with the Godhead. We agree with God first. Whatever he wants to do about your situation between the cat and the dog. The next thing we agree with is the scriptures that you left us. Amen? And thereby, we've come in agreement with the Lord, and we've come in agreement with the Word of God. Amen? Praise the Lord. And that's how we do this. When we come up and we add our agreement in our own words, using our own scriptures, we pray for everybody at one time. We don't pick out certain people, okay, I'm agreeing with Mary, and I'm agreeing with Bob. We don't do that. We love the entire body of Christ. So whatever the person's prayer request may be to the Father in Jesus' name, We all come in agreement with what the Heavenly Father wants to do about it, what the Godhead has determined to do about it, and with the scriptures that they have given. Amen? And that's the way we do it in the Global Prayer Warriors prayer room. And God honors it. And God gets the glory. Amen? Amen. Praise the Lord. So for those who had not heard before, you now have heard, and please govern yourselves accordingly. Amen? Now remember, 5 lines, not 20. Amen? Praise God. Now, for those of you who've never been in the MIC radio chat room, it is located on our webpage. And our webpage is www.miracleinternetchurch.com. When the page comes up, across the banner, you'll see MIC Radio Chat. Click that link, and when the sign-in page comes up, click Guest, and then type in your name or your handle, whichever, and push enter. I think that's about all there is to do. And then you can begin to say hi to everyone. And everyone will say hi to you because we're very loving, we're very friendly, and so we encourage you to be loving and friendly too. Amen? That's how the body of Christ treats one another. And we're very respectful. And we're very kind to one another. Amen. Very merciful. And we hope that you will be that way too. Now, if you're on a cell phone, when the page comes up, across a black background at the top, you will see three white dashes. Those three white dashes is your link to open up all the other links. Press it. Don't press the picture. Nothing's going to happen if you press the picture. The picture is going to change even if you don't touch the page. Press the three links. Amen? Press those three lines, and then the rest of the links will open up to you, and you can sign in. Amen? You can listen to us live on your phone, even if you're doing something that your hands are involved in, so you can't stop right then because your hands are full of something. You can listen at area code 319-527-6235 and press 1. Area code 319-527-6235 and press 1. Amen? So if you're still getting in the car, you're on your way from work and whatever else you had to do before you can get home, you can dial in on your phone. I wouldn't suggest you hold your phone while you're trying to drive. That's dangerous. And in the state of Georgia, that's against the law. Amen? So you need to get one of those devices that you can just put your phone somewhere and have it on and you can hear. Praise the Lord. So, there, that's what we have to say about that. Also, as you well know, the Lord wants us to be a giving people. Yes, he wants us to be a giving people. So, however the Lord touches your heart this year, toward the end of the year, to bless someone he wants you to bless, listen to him and do what he says. Amen? He's already indicated to me what he wants me to do. There's a group here in Jacksonville, and he wants me to be a blessing. So I'm going to do that. I'm going to send in my donation and do what the Lord's telling me to do. So whatever the Lord tells you to do, then you do that. But don't ignore him. listen to him and allow him to use you. Amen? That's right. That's being loving. That's obeying the Lord. That's reverencing him. Amen? So, listen to the Lord. He'll tell you what he wants you to do. You just humble yourself and do what he says. That's all you got to do. Amen? So, we're going to talk a little bit about something after we do the opening prayer, because we're going to do a little intercession today. And then later on, Brother Marshall is going to come, and we're going to do some more intercession, because things are really happening in this world. Evil men and seducers are waxing worse and worse. So we have to stand our post, saints. We have to give an account to God for the things done in our body. And he's calling us to be global prayer warriors. And he expects prayer warriors to war. Amen? You know, I recently ran into this lady. And we were looking at some similar things in a bookstore. And she saw this video on Satanism. And she said, oh, they shouldn't have that in here. Oh, I don't want to have anything to do with that. And I hadn't planned on responding to that lady, but you know, it didn't work out that way. I immediately said to her, well, what are you going to do when a witch or a wizard or a warlock attacks you? What are you going to do? I said, you know, by the way, they do attack Christians. So what are you going to do? Well, this was one of those scary, full of fear, cowardice church folk. Oh, I'm just going to get away from all of it. That's exactly what she said. And then I said something else, and she said, I'm just going to pray and trust and depend on the Lord. I wanted to tell her, you don't have the foggiest notion how to pray. But I didn't say that. The lady that was standing there listening to it said to me, she's just scared. And I replied to the lady, yes, but the fearful go to hell, remember? So she began to make some other little comment, and the Lord let me know not to respond because she couldn't handle it. Now, you know, the Lord spared her. You know that. The Lord spared her, because if she had said too much more, I would have pulled out about 6 scriptures off the top of my head and said, well, now what are you going to do about this? And what are you going to do with this scripture? And what are you going to do with this? And I know she wouldn't have had a thing that she could say. The Lord spared her that day. But I was like, Lord, is anyone ever going to grow up? Is anyone ever going to wake up? I know there's some people waking up, but not enough of them. Not enough. So, Lord, we need some of those scary, chicken, coward that name the name of Jesus to mature. We need them to grow up. We need them to get a grip. We need them to open their eyes. See, there's a scripture that says they've closed their eyes. They've shut their ears. They don't want to know. They don't want to know. And that's the problem. There are too many people who don't want to be real Christians. Real Christians act like Jesus Christ. He didn't give us the armor of God to see if we could cower. That's not what it's for. All throughout the Old Testament, there are wars and battles and fights continually. So what would make us to God gives us all these chapters all these books of the Bible full of war that we're just going to sit here and vegetate until it's time to go home. That's not the way it is. So those who just want to sit back on their lees and they don't want to hardly do any warfare and they don't want to bind anything, they don't want to stand up for what is truth, they don't want to stand up for the word of God, what are you going to say when you stand before Jesus Christ? Just what are you going to say? He shed his sinless blood to change the entire picture for the whole world, whether they received him or not. So if you're one of those people who wants to be a lazy Christian, you don't want to look up any scriptures, even though we give you the scriptures. I give you scripture after scripture after scripture. I tell you where to look. All you have to do is look them up. All you have to do is allow them to change your life. All you have to do is grow up into Christ. We have entirely too many people in the body of Christ that are like that young woman. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Well, what do you do with that scripture if you're running, if you're a coward? If you're backward, you're not using that scripture, but Jesus died to give it to you. He died for you to possess it, to live it, while you're here on the earth, in the land of the living. So now, for all of you who come up to the global prayer room and you never sign in, you come up to pray, but you don't sign in, what are you afraid of, that somebody will know your name? I'm wondering. You should wonder, too. We are the army of God. And there is a curse that is released when God says it's time to go to war and you decide you're not going to do it. So now, you have the privilege and the opportunity of repenting of your sin. Be certain that your sin will find you out. If you're like that young lady, you're in sin and you're backslidden. And you need to do something about it before you take your last breath. The sooner, the better. Amen? If you're going to be called a Christian, then try to be Christ-like. And it doesn't mean saying, oh, just bless your heart. No, that's not what that means. And I think you know the difference. Amen?
Amen.
So let's go before the Lord our God in prayer. Amen? Let's go before the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, we forgive by an act of our will all those Christians who don't really want to be full-on Christian. They don't want to embrace Jude 3. They don't really want the faith as it was once delivered to the saints. So, Heavenly Father, we lift them up to you and we ask you to forgive them as well. But we ask that you bring correction into their lives and that you challenge them every day and that you help them to overcome their weaknesses, because we're ready and waiting for everyone, for all of us, to come together in the fullness of the faith. The Bible says so. So, Lord, we're believing you for it. We're releasing our faith to you for the rest of the body of Christ to wake up. Wake up to the reality of the blood of Jesus Christ. Wake up to the reality of what his sacrifice really meant. Wake up to the reality of what the truth of the Word of God is. and that we are to be a changed people. When people meet us, they should know that we've been with Jesus Christ. Not that we just read a few scriptures, no. They should know that we have been with Jesus Christ. So we want to thank you, Lord, that you're working on the body of Christ still. You're working on us. You're perfecting those things that concern us. And we thank you, Lord, for giving us patience and long-suffering as we wait for you to complete your work. The Bible says that the eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous and his ears are open unto their cry. So we know, Lord, that you hear us. We thank you for listening and for receiving our prayer. The Bible says, Lord, that many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers them out of them all. We thank you, Lord, that in many times we've been afflicted and we're being afflicted now, and you're delivering us. Maybe not the way we thought you were going to do it, but yet you are delivering us. We are casting our burdens upon you, Lord, and you've promised to sustain us. You promised us that you shall never allow the righteous to be moved. So, Lord, you have created the fruit of the lips. You said to us, you said that you would heal us. You said that you would comfort us just as a mother comforts a child. You told us that you will change our mourning. You'll turn it into joy. And that you will cause us to rejoice from our sorrow. We thank you, Father, for the comfort that you bring in our tribulation. We thank you, Lord, that you loved us. And you continue to love us, and you give us everlasting consolation, good hope, and comfort in our heart. We thank you, Lord, for your grace. We thank you for your gentleness. We thank you for your empathy toward us. And we give you praise. We give you glory. We give you honor. And from our position, seated in heavenly places with Christ Jesus, we take authority, dominion, and power over the spirit of fear. We bind fear. We bind faint-heartedness and giving up. We bind anxiety and stress. We bind deaf spirits, fear of man, being in fear, nightmares and terrors, torment and horror, and untrusting faithlessness. We bind every fear and every phobia in the name of Jesus Christ. We take authority, dominion, and power over the spirit of heaviness. The Bible says in Isaiah 61, to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified. We take authority, dominion, and power over self-pity, over heaviness, over depression, over insomnia, over excessive mourning, over despair, rejection, hopelessness, and a broken heart. We break your grip and hold now in the name of Jesus Christ. Loose the people of God. Every chain, every fetter, every yoke. We break you now in Jesus' name. You have no right to be there in the name of Jesus Christ. We command you to come up and out of God's people right now in the name of Jesus. Suicidal tendencies, we break your grip and hold in Jesus' name. A root of bitterness and impulsiveness and a lack of praise, we break your grip and hold over the people of God in Jesus' name. We command those chains to fall off in the name of Jesus Christ. We break every chain, Father, in the name of Jesus Christ. Every binding we remove in the name of Jesus Christ. Rusa, every net, we tear it apart. We destroy it in the name of Jesus.
We command you to come out of your bondage right now in the name of Jesus. Deep breath and cough, deep breath and cough, deep breath and cough in the name of Jesus Christ. We thank you, Father, for the armor of God. We thank you, Father, that we've taken hold of the shield of faith so that we can quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. We thank you for the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. We thank you, Lord, that you put a hedge around us. You covered us with the blood of Jesus Christ. We're the head and not the tail. No weapon formed against us shall be able to prosper, and no unwholesome word is going to come out of our mouths in Jesus' name. All ill confessions, we bind you in the name of Jesus Christ. All self-cursing, we bind you in the name of Jesus Christ. We thank you, Lord, that we have the breastplate of righteousness, right standing with you. We thank you, Lord, for allowing us to walk in divine health, for you are the Lord our God who heals all of our diseases, and by your stripes we are healed. We thank you, Lord, that you supplied all of our needs according to your riches and glory, and that we can do all things through Christ Jesus who strengthens us. We thank you, Lord, and we receive your strength. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, from our position seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, we bind Satan, the strong man, all his evil angels, evil spirits, demonic agents, all of his underlings, timings, maneuvers, tactics, devices, plans, orders, and we cancel all demonic assignments and satanic agendas against the righteous in Jesus' name. We take the territory from Satan in Jesus' name. We bind every form of godliness which denies the power of Jesus Christ. We come into agreement with the Father, Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit, and we come out of agreement with Satan and his entire kingdom. We close and seal all portals, channels, open doors of access to the enemy in the name of Jesus. We pull down all demonic thrones. We bind the wicked principalities, powers, rulers of darkness, and all spiritual wickedness in high places. We release the all-consuming fire of God on every ley line, silver cord, and garland. We bind the demons and workers of darkness in the heavenlies, in the bush, and in the deep. We bind rape and murder to its strong man and dethrone them all, chaining them all in eternal chains in darkness, placing them in the custody of the Holy Spirit. We bind the sources of all witchcraft attacks, and we return the attacks onto the heads of the devils that bring them to cling to them for eternity. We bind all trafficking demons, reporters, watchers, listeners, peeps, whisperers, familiar demons, all electronic and technology demons, all digital demons, Leviathan spirits and their attacks, Kundalini spirits and their attacks, even their psychic attacks in Jesus' name. We bind all water and marine spirits and their attacks, all sex devils and their attacks, unclean spirits and their attacks, all passive devils and their attacks, all sorcery devils and their attacks, all pain-afflicting spirits, sleep deprivation spirits, artificial intelligence, smart dust, seducing, womanizing, drone spirits, whoredom spirits and their attacks, the Havana syndrome, brain changes, injuries, and all remote viewing, we bind you in the name of Jesus Christ. All sonic and audio weapons, we bind in Jesus' name. We bind all the voices of the stranger and their attacks. We bind all targeted radio frequencies, all pulse weapons and their attacks, all microwave attacks, all debilitating sonic frequencies, all EMF attacks, all hypnotic and trance devils and their attacks, all mystic rituals and their intent. We bind you, and we bind the work of every druid in Jesus' name. We bind all electromagnetic attacks, smart technology and particle attacks, techno-paganism, and mind control by the occult. We bind you in the name of Jesus Christ. All virtual demons, we bind you in the name of Jesus Christ. Come out of the eye gate. And we close the third eye in Jesus' name. Come up and out. You have no right to be there in the name of Jesus. We take authority, dominion, and power over 5G and their components in the name of Jesus. And we bind all mystic rituals and their intent. We overturn and empty all cauldrons and chalices upon the heads of the conjurers and the magicians. We bind Buddhist, black magic, Santeria, Kabbalah, Egyptian, Chaldean, Hindu, Caribbean, Latin American, Australian, Indian, African, American, Canadian, Australian, and every form of black and white magic in Jesus' name. We break your grip and hold in our lives. We disconnect ourselves from the connections to you in the name of Jesus, from in Jesus' name.
We bind all more jealous attacks and return every attack to the senders. We bind the culture of corruption worldwide. We bind all free-flying devils, all evil spirits which take animal forms, all shape-shifting spirits, trapping them into their shifted form for eternity. We bind every demon responsible for the dominion of sin in our cultures. We bind impulsivity, inattention, racing mind, and hyperactivity. We bind the prince of the power of the air, and we return his powers to Jesus Christ. We bind the power of the dog and every abomination that's been committed. We bind the Lord of the flies and his agents, and we place them under the feet of the Lord Jesus. We bind the Mandela effect and all satanic ritual abuse and satanic worship and witchcraft dedications in Jesus' name. We bind all formations of bullflies and demonic insects. We bind all spiders in their webs. We bind trapping them in their own webs. We bind the transference of evil spirits, spirits of infirmity, spirits of supplanting, the gods of the people of the land and the gods of the groves, and every spirit that exalts logic, science, human reasoning, demonic knowledge against the knowledge of God and makes man wise in his own eyes. We bind you in the name of Jesus Christ. We bind Mammon and his agents. We bind all demons sent forth to intimidate, harass, manipulate, lie against, mock, wear down, infect, destroy, sabotage, spy, hinder, besmirch, block, distract, confuse, pervert, stifle, curse, expose, stop, defile, corrupt, undermine, despise, assassinate, confound, divide, attack, reproach, and reduce the effectiveness of the righteous in Christ Jesus. We return and loose these attacks to the senders according to the covenant. We bind the bondage of the generation of fools and the spirit of the fool, the words of the fool, the anger of the fool, and we bind the carnal mind in Jesus' name. We bind all vampire spirits, voodoo, hoodoo, ancient arts, mystic rituals, devils attending the New World Order and New Age movement. We bind the spirits and works of the oppressors in Jesus' name. We bind the spirit and the children of disobedience. We bind all false religions, numerology, horoscopes, martial arts, yoga, transcendental meditation, make-believe in fantasy, antichrist ideologies and doctrines, Ahab and Jezebelic practices, and territorial devils, lewdness, perversions, outworking of vain deceit, death spirits, spirits of destruction, chaos, and mayhem, oppression, depression, anarchy, premonition, clairvoyance, ESP, telepathy, psychokinesis, bio-PK, out-of-body experiences, reincarnation, haunting, poltergeist, astral travel, psychic healing, demonic meditation, spirit guides, and defilement by wizards. We bind you in Jesus' name. We bind the king of pride, and we bind and chain with eternal chains and darkness his entire kingdom in Jesus' name. We bind all demonic blood, sexual, financial, animal, fecal, and soulish sacrifices in the name of Jesus. We bind all devils attached to idols and idolatry. We bind every form of rebellion, idolatry, root work, mind control, nature worship, deception, scoffing, error, worldly indoctrination, military spirits, rioting, abuse, all trolls, all fear, combated jealousy, fleshly ambition, the culture of corruption, weariness, betrayal, unfaithfulness, and the temptation to sin. We bind Belial, Beelzebub, Baal, Baselech, Moloch, Python, Neptune, Zeus, Mammon, Atlas, Baphomet, and his 72, and we chain them all with eternal chains under darkness. We undo the works of every demonic weapon, fireball, poison, voodoo pins and dolls, triggers, tumors, hot and cold spots, and we return their afflictions to the worker of witchcraft and their pagan sources. We break the power of every Masonic ritual, every Masonic ceremony, the elements used, and the intent and the work of the demole. We bind you all in the name of Jesus Christ. We chain you with eternal chains under darkness in the name of Jesus. We bind every spirit that was familiar to the Laodiceans. We bind the pride and foolishness of our own opinions. We return and loose all the retaliations of the enemy upon his own head according to the scriptures. We bind our traditions and customs rooted in sin. We denounce and renounce them all and loose ourselves from them. We bind the gang stalkers and send their harassment, fear, and witchcraft back on their own heads as well as their mind control in Jesus' name. According to 2 Thessalonians 1:6, we bind the spirit of slumber. We thank you, Father, that you have given us power over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means harm us. We rejoice with you that our names are written in heaven. We bind every spirit that denies the deity of the Lord Jesus Christ and his blood atonement on the cross of Calvary. Father, we ask for eyes to see, ears to hear, hearts to believe, and minds to receive what the Spirit of God says to the church.
Lord, we've come to loose the bands of wickedness, to undo heavy burdens, to let the oppressed go free, to break every yoke and chain, and to call for justice and plead for truth. Lord, develop in us a love for the truth. Lead us into truth. Your word is truth. Make us to know the truth, and your truth will make us free. When the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord shall lift up a standard against him. Lord, we've come to celebrate the scriptures with you and to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. We will not turn back from pursuing the enemy until the Godhead does. The Lord Jesus Christ is our commander-in-chief in whom we serve and obey. Father, we pray for the peace of Jerusalem, for kings, for all who are in authority, and all true Christians everywhere. And we particularly lift up to you, Father, all Christians that are being persecuted. We thank you for the two Christians that were released from Haiti. And we ask you, Father, to release all the more in the name of Jesus. We thank you for protecting them, keeping them safe, keeping them in the rojole de Diosuta, under the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, helping them, Lord, to serve as a witness to you. We take authority, dominion, and power over the demons in the minds of their captors in the name of Jesus Christ. We bind those devils in the name of Jesus Christ, and we disconnect those devils from the higher principalities and powers and rulers that control them in the name of Jesus Christ. We disconnect them and we cauterize the endings. There'll be no reconnection in Jesus' name. We bind every demon in the mind of every captor there in the name of Jesus Christ. We send division and confusion into the enemy camp in the name of Jesus. We thank you, Father. Father, we lift up the Christians in Afghanistan in Jesus' name and all of those government workers, Lord, that should have been airlifted out of there. We ask you to protect them. We plead the blood of Jesus over them. Give them courage, Lord, and give them faith in Jesus' name. Give them hope, Father, in the name of Jesus Christ. Give them a way of escape, Father, according to the word in the name of Jesus. In Jesus' name, hallelujah. With the sword of the Spirit, we cut ourselves free from every ungodly silver cord, ley line, ungodly soul ties, attachments, covenants, agreements, oaths, consents, garlands, leagues, pacts, pledges, vows, and every form of agreement with the demonic realm. We pull down and destroy walls of protection around shamans, Satanists, wizards, warlocks, witches, sorcerers, and all such, and divinators in the name of Jesus. We break the power of every love spell, vex, hex, curse, all psychic prayers and thoughts, witchcraft, fetishes, voodoo, all mind control, jinxes, potions, bewitchments, death, sickness, destruction, incense and candle burnings, incantations, chanting, ungodly blessings, root works, crystals, tribal rituals and sin, hoodoo, and everything sent by the devil against us. We send it back. In the name of Jesus Christ, We return it from whence it came in the name of Jesus Christ. Father, we thank you and we give you praise for your marvelous work on the lives of people, Lord. We thank you for saving such as should be saved in the name of Jesus Christ. And from our position seated in heavenly places with Christ Jesus, we take authority, dominion, and power over whatever is called the Omicron variant in Jesus' name. We bind it in the name of Jesus Christ, and we return it from whence it came in the name of Jesus Christ. We send it back to its origins according to the covenant in the name of Jesus. We thank you, Father, that you're able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think according to the power that works in us. We give you praise, Lord. We give you glory. We give you honor. We thank you, Father. Now, saints, I need you to listen to this. The United States, and not just the United States, but that's what this article was about, is vulnerable to attack from an electromagnetic pulse, or EMP. According to experts, such an attack could devastate the nation's power grid and wipe out vast swaths of the population. The risk of an EMP attack on U.S. infrastructure is very high, particularly in this international environment. The news comes amid growing concerns about China and its alleged development of first-strike nuclear capabilities. So some of you are wondering, what is an EMP attack? Well, first of all, let me say that former President Obama tried to pull one off. However, the Lord showed Pastor Pat about it, and we came up on the broadcast, and we bound it up in the name of Jesus Christ. That he had it so fixed that this particular star or planet is moving this way, and the axis of the earth is this way, and at this particular time, he's telling the military that he wanted them to release torpedoes at a certain place at a certain time, and whatever it was going to produce, it would have knocked us all off the grid. Well, that means we're open and vulnerable to everything except for Jesus Christ, who protects us. So if you go into the archives, you'll find that sermon there. And if you recall, not too long after that, he fired all the top brass of the military. Amen. Judgment will come. So what is an EMP attack? An EMP is a burst of electromagnetic energy that disrupts communications and damages electronic equipment. An EMP can be created by nuclear missiles, radio frequency weapons that you hear me binding continually, and natural phenomena such as geomagnetic storms. While any nuclear weapon can create an EMP, specialized EMP weapons such as so-called super EMP bombs generate particularly strong gamma radiation that multiplies the effect of the pulse, extending the destruction over a greater range. Such an attack, if centered over New York City, for example, would cover the entirety of the northeastern United States. Amen? So, that's what we need you to know. Such an attack could cause months-long losses of electrical power and create cascading effects for food, water, and heat supplies, resulting in a mass loss of life. So you see, there's something to be concerned about. So Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, we take authority, dominion, and power over all potential EMP attacks against the grid in any nation in Jesus' name. We come before your throne, Father, seeking grace and mercy to help us in time of need. We ask you, Father, to shut down their ability to do this. You know, during the Tower of Babel, and it was being built and erected, you saw that the wrong thing was going on, and the Godhead came down and confused those that were doing the wrong thing, and you scattered men all over the earth. Well, Father, in the name of Jesus, we lift to you this situation. We cast our care upon you because we know that you care for us. You stopped it once before, and you are able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. So, Lord, we know that you can stop this too, and we are asking you to do it. We ask you, Lord, to protect the power grid of every nation in Jesus' name. We ask you, Lord, to stop them from wiping out the world's population simply because they're eugenicists and this is their wicked plan from Satan. So, Satan, we bind you and your plans in the name of Jesus Christ. We bind all your wickedness. We bind all your evil. We bind all your designs to destroy what God himself created in his image and likeness. So we send your wickedness back on your own pate in Jesus' name. We send it back on your head. We return it to you now in Jesus' name. You have no power over the body of Christ. We belong to the Lord. The Bible says that the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. All the people of the earth belong to him, not you. So we thank you, Lord, for your protection. We thank you for the blood of Jesus. We thank you for the wall of fire that surrounds us with your glory in the midst. We thank you for your warring, linking angels and your praising angels and your hosts and your warriors and the Itarukuhurakasa, host of heaven in Jesus' name. We thank you, Lord, that the Lord of hosts himself, our commander-in-chief, the Lord Jesus Christ, will see to it. We give you praise, Lord. We give you glory. We give you honor. And we thank you, Lord, in the name of Jesus Christ. We thank you, Lord, in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. The name that is above every name. Amen. Amen and amen. Praise the Lord. So, saints, we have to keep our faith in the Lord. Amen. He will protect us. He will help us. Amen. He will help us. He will take care of his people. He promises to do. And God cannot lie. Amen? Amen. Our featured psalm for tonight's worship service is Psalm 4:6. Psalm 4:6. And our verse for meditation comes from the book of Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 33, verse 22. Isaiah chapter 33, verse 22. For the Lord is our judge. The Lord is our lawgiver. The Lord is our king. He will save us. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Our featured ebook, and it's already been posted in the chat room, is Fasting Breaks the Yoke. And it does. Amen. Fasting Breaks the Yoke. For those of you who missed the guest call-in number, it's area code 319-527-6235 and press 1. Tonight, the Lord wants to talk to us about this. I am not alone. Say it, please. Repeat after me. I am not alone. Some of you are going to need to post this on your refrigerator or on your bathroom mirror or wherever you post things
so you can remember to say this to yourself on a daily basis. I am not alone. Because that's the truth of the Word of God. Amen? So, Father, we thank you for blessing this message and for it going into the hearts of your people. We forbid the enemy for stealing any word of God from any of us in the name of Jesus Christ. So, saints, most often during the holidays in particular, there are times of much cheer. And also, there are times when some people feel left out. They feel that way. It doesn't mean they're actually left out. They might be and they might not be, but they feel that way. But saints, we need to be reminded that we do not live according to our feelings. Our feelings have a tendency to follow our thought life. And if we are not binding every thought in the name of Jesus Christ, if we are not casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God and bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Jesus Christ, then that means that the enemy has a heyday in our minds and in our emotions. And it's because we let him have it. Amen. And we can do something about that. Well, perhaps illness has changed your usual plan. Or perhaps the pandemic has become a thorn in your side. Or perhaps your family group has shifted, possibly due to death or some other state of affairs. Regardless of the reason for the change of plans, you may find yourself feeling left out and alone. So, the Holy Spirit's prompting me to say something, and I'm just going to say it. Over the many years of my life, I've been around different kinds of Christians. And there's always this group that wants to say to those that are single in Christ that if we marry, we'll be complete. Well, I don't agree with that at all. I never have, and I never will. We each find our completeness in Jesus Christ our Lord. We are complete in him. No human being can complete you if completion is what you're seeking. God alone does that. You see, there are people that have all kinds of religious ideas. And there are people that think there's something wrong with you if you're not wed to someone. Well, I've come to dispel that rumor and that lie. However God has called you to live at this season of your life, you are fine. And if other people cannot accept that, they need to mature. So if perchance you are approached by some of that thinking, first forgive them for their ignorance of the Word of God. Amen? If the Lord leads you to say nothing, just walk away. Should the Lord lead you to say something, let him tell you what to say. Amen? Amen. Just a word of advice for people that are going to run into different thinking people. Amen? You see, there are people that do not have the courage to live alone, to live by themselves. That's not everyone that's married. But there are those people in society. They don't have the courage to live just them and the Lord. Amen? The Lord tells us in the book of Joshua to be courageous. Amen, he does. And if God calls you for the rest of your life or for a season of your life, however he chooses to order your step to live with just him, then embrace it with your whole heart. Because it is the best thing for you. Amen? God is the one who should be ordering our steps, not your family and friends' opinion. None of them had any holy blood to die on a cross to wash away any of your sins or their own. And unfortunately, when we are around family and friends most often, they have a tendency to not just be concerned, but to meddle in God's business. So help them to understand that your marital status or your single status or whatever status you have is God's business, and he can take care of it, and you're just fine. Amen? Amen. That's for whoever that's for. Amen. Well, saints, the Lord has a word for us when we experience these feelings of being left out. In Romans chapter 8, beginning with verse 26, likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. That's right, those places where we're weak, places where we're not as strong, places where perhaps in the family there's been sin and it's left a weakness in the family that was passed to us when we were conceived. Perhaps, just perhaps. So, you see, sometimes we experience certain feelings because those spirits come down the family line. It is so. It is so. Sometimes we experience these feelings because they pertain to our family group. Mm-hmm. And we have to do the spiritual thing about that. So in Romans 8:26, likewise, the Holy Spirit helps our infirmity. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought to. But the Spirit himself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. According to anybody else's will. According to the will of God. You see, the Holy Spirit helps us with our daily problems and in our prayer life. That's right. Many times, we don't know exactly what we should pray for, even though some of us think that we know, but often we pray outside of God's desire. Mm-hmm, it happens. Nor how to pray as we should. We don't know it all the time. The Holy Spirit prays for us with such impact that words alone cannot express it. Our Heavenly Father knows each of our hearts. He knows all of our cares, joys, and troubles. He receives what the Holy Spirit is saying as he pleads for us in harmony with God's will. That's what the Holy Spirit does. He comes alongside to aid us, to support us,
to undergird us with intercession. So you are not alone. If you have received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, that's the end of that aloneness. That's the end of that. You are not alone. Regardless to what you are feeling, you are not alone. Say it. I am not alone. You see, we're called to walk in truth. We're called to be subject to the Spirit of truth. So if your emotions are not lining up with the truth of the word, you need to deal with your emotions. You need to bind those lying emotions that are telling you you're alone when you are not. Amen? That's right. So you're not alone, after all, because the Bible says that Jesus says he'll never leave you nor forsake you. Jesus can't lie. Your emotions can. The Holy Spirit, saints, is already on the case. Someone once said, when life gives you lemons, make lemonade. Think about it. In other words, though your situation may be bitter, it may be heartbreaking and painful, you have the power through the name of Jesus. You have the power through the Word of God. You have the power through the Holy Spirit to change your point of view. That's right. You can change your point of view if you will. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 10 tells us, brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Well, that's a scripture that we actually have to obey. And so we cannot lean on the weakness of our emotions. We're to have holy emotions, godly emotions, emotions that are subject to the Spirit of God inside of us. Not emotions motivated by the devil that have us running first this way and then that. Amen? Your emotions are subject to you. I'm sure many people have never thought of that. But your emotions are subject to you. You have authority over your emotions. Your emotions get out of line, you can plead the merits of the shed blood of Jesus over your emotions until they begin to line up with the word. You can bind the devil from attacking your emotions. That's right. You don't have armor for nothing. You don't have a shield of faith for nothing. You're supposed to raise the shield of faith. And why would you want to do that? To quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. So you see, your emotions should be subject to the Holy Spirit living in you. And you have something to do with that. Amen? Amen. You can either see a stumbling block or you can see a stepping stone. The choice is up to you. That's right. It's up to you. Your attitude will affect your altitude. You can through Almighty God, rise above it, or you can be crushed beneath its weight. You choose. It's your choice. That's right. You have a choice. You have a choice to make. You can allow your situation to drive you closer to the Heavenly Father, or you can become bitter and miserable. You choose. It's up to you to choose, to you to choose. Amen? In the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 30, Deuteronomy, chapter 30, beginning with verse 14. Deuteronomy chapter 30, beginning with verse 14. But the word is very nigh unto thee. That means the word's very close to you. That's right. In thy mouth and in thy heart, that thou mayest do it. Did you notice you actually have to do it? You can't just read it on the page. You have to perform it. The word is close to you. It's not somewhere you can't find it. It's in your mouth and it's in your heart so that you can do it. The Lord says, see, I have set before thee this day life and good and death and evil, in that I command thee this day to love the Lord thy God, to walk in his ways and to keep his commandments and his statutes and his judgments, that thou mayest live and multiply, and the Lord thy God shall bless thee in the land wheresoever thou goest to possess it. The Lord's encouraging us to choose life and good over death and evil. It's your choice. It's up to you. In Romans chapter 8, verse 28, Romans chapter 8, verse 28, we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. So yes, in life there is bitter and sweet. Yes, cherries have pits and roses have thorns. It's a part of life. It's a part of life. But God promises that he will work all of these kinds of varying and different experiences throughout life together for our good when we love him and we are called and committed to his purpose in our lives. But it's our choice, remember? So, you're getting a divorce. Okay. Then what you should do is make the best of it. Make the best of a very painful, distraughtful situation that's full of anguish and if I woulda, coulda, shouldas and regrets and dreads and all of that stuff. You can sit there and hold on to those bitter resentments and grudges, or you can let it all go. It's your choice. You can keep rehearsing what has happened to you over and over and over and over again, or you can humble yourself before the Lord and cast your burden upon him, cast your care upon him, because he cares for you, knowing that he is your vindicator and he is your justice. It's your choice. You can dwell in the past or you can move on into the present and future with Jesus Christ. It's up to you. It's your choice. Haven't you cried long enough?
Haven't you mourned long enough? Today's a new day. Let's start over. You know, saints, I discovered something many years ago. I discovered that at some point, all of that crying actually becomes wasted water. Because God cannot use it at that point to do anything that he plans to accomplish in your life. There is a point of cutoff for the tears. Yes. You don't know where that is? Don't worry. God is with you. There's a point of cutoff. There's a time to stop crying, stop mourning. There's a time to get up and begin to go on with life. And to go on with the Lord. In fact, in Ecclesiastes chapter 3, beginning with verse 1, the Lord explains it to us this way. To everything there is a season and a time to every purpose under the heaven, a time to be born and a time to die, a time to plant and a time to pluck up that which is planted. A time to kill and a time to heal, a time to break down and a time to build up, a time to weep and a time to laugh. You see, the weeping does not last always. Joy cometh in the morning. A time to mourn and a time to dance, a time to cast away stones and a time to gather stones together, a time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing, to get and a time to lose, a time to keep and a time to cast away, a time to rend and a time to sow, a time to keep silent and a time to speak, a time to love and a time to hate, a time of war and a time of peace. Amen. Don't overstay your season. Amen? Yes, come to terms with the truth of the facts. Not just the facts, the truth of the facts. Yes, work through your sensitivities with the Lord. But don't lie there wallowing in it. That's not productive. That's not the will of God. Amen? Yes, your heart is broken, but the Lord will heal your heart if you allow him to. In Psalm 34, verse 18, the Lord is nigh or close unto them that are of a broken heart and saveth such as be of a contrite spirit. Isaiah chapter 61, verse 1. Isaiah chapter 61, verse 1. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. Because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound. Yes, God binds up the brokenhearted. Allow him to do that in you. Luke, the Gospel of Luke. Chapter 4, verse 18. The Gospel of Luke, chapter 4, verse 18. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised. Sounds to me like the Lord's awfully concerned about you and that he's tenderly watching over you and that he cares. Yes, he cares when your heart is broken. But he doesn't want you to live the rest of your life in torment. Amen? Praise the Lord. So, saints, allow the Lord to heal you. It's something you have to allow to happen. You have to want it. You have to be open to the Lord, submissive to the Lord, and cooperative with him. Saints, humans have a tendency to give way to emotions far too much during a crisis. Crisis comes, emotions everywhere, all over the place. So the enemy gets too much room to afflict. Why? Because the emotions are out of their lane. In a crisis, saint, this is what you do. Go on a fast immediately. When the crisis hits, that starts your fast right then, right there at the moment. Well, why? Why would I do that? Well, one of the things that a fast does is that if you allow, it will bring your emotions back into line. I remember when I had the privilege and opportunity of walking through the house one morning, early one morning, and finding my youngest brother dead on the couch. And I remember one of the first things I did was go on a fast. That was one of the first things I did. Because you see, as the shock begins to wear off, the emotions just go wild. They just do things, unpredictable things sometimes. And I had to keep it together. I didn't have time to fall apart. There were enough people in my family falling apart. God had given me faith. He'd given me his spirit. It was my place to keep it together. Not just for myself, but for everyone else. Because the fruit of the spirit, saint, is self-control. It's self-control. In times of seeming isolation, if we choose, we can allow those times to help us to appreciate the Lord's love and fellowship. I'll say that again. In times of seeming isolation, if we choose, we can allow those times to help us to appreciate the Lord's love and fellowship is on deployment for the next 6 months. And you don't have any family or friends around. Draw near to Jesus. He will draw close to you. In James chapter 4, verse 8, James chapter 4, verse 8, draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. So he tells you what's going to happen as you draw close to him. He's going to help you see that you need to cleanse your hands because you've been in sin. And he's going to lead you to allow the word of God to purify your heart because you've been double-minded. Amen. Thank him for it. Psalm 9, verse 10. Psalm 9, verse 10. They that know thy name will put their trust in thee, for thou, Lord, has not forsaken them that seek thee. God doesn't walk off and leave people that seek him. No. He encourages us to seek him. He wants us to seek him because he has all of our answers and all of our solutions, every one of them. Psalm 27, verse 8. When thou saidest, seek ye my face, my heart said unto thee, thy face, Lord, will I seek. Be committed to the Lord to seek his face. He's there. He's waiting, but he's not going to make you do it. Amen? Amen. Psalm 40, verse 16. Let all those that seek thee rejoice and be glad in thee. Let such as love thy salvation say continually, the Lord be magnified. Well, if you're magnifying the Lord, it's kind of hard to have a pity party. Amen? If you're praising the Lord, if you're singing blood songs, it's hard to have a pity party at the same time. Wouldn't you agree? Psalm 105, verse 4. Seek the Lord and his strength. Seek his face evermore. Seek him, seek his strength, seek his face, and keep on doing it. Don't stop. Isaiah chapter 55, beginning with verse 6. Isaiah chapter 55, beginning with verse 6. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. In other words, it's time to get with it. Let the wicked forsake his way. Why? Because the wicked only have wicked ways. And the unrighteous man, his thoughts. Let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. Our God is very merciful and forgiving. Philippians chapter 1, verse 6. Being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. God's not finished with you. He's just getting started. Don't quit on him. In your patience, possess ye your soul. Amen? That's right. Saints, we must not allow the enemy to stretch our emotions and feelings out of proportion because his plan is to bring you into bondage. His plan is to bring you into bondage. See, you'll get caught up in that cycle of having fixations in your mind. And you'll be fixed on this certain event and this event and that event and this event and that event. And you'll just rehearse them over and over and over in your mind and just keep rehearsing them and keep going nowhere but in a circle, in a circle, in a circle, and backwards. Don't get caught in that trap. That's a trap of the enemy. Don't get caught in that. Let it go. Once it's happened, it's now past. Let it go. Give it to the Lord. And let go. because you can't change what already happened. So David, yes, King David, experienced this many times in his life. When in heavy trials, from Psalm 31, verse 12, he said, I am forgotten as a dead man out of mind. I am like a broken vessel. So you see, saints, no temptation has come to you except that's common to all mankind. It's happened to other people too. What has happened to you has happened to someone else too. Question is, are you going to be victorious or are you going to be overcome with the situation? Are you going to be an overcomer or is the situation going to overcome you? Psalm 88, verse 12, David speaking, shall thy wonders be known in the dark and thy righteousness in the land of forgetfulness? He was having a rough time. Just like Job, he was having a rough time. Psalm 102, verse 7. Psalm 102, verse 7. I watch and am as a sparrow alone upon the housetop, feeling very much alone, very much left out of things. Very much nobody else cares. Nobody else understands. Nobody else can feel what I'm feeling. Well, I got news for you. Somebody, somewhere on the face of this planet, during the entire history of time, has felt what you're feeling. The question is, what are you going to do about it? Are you going to do? So you thought that you had finally found your mate, eh? But they didn't think that at all. So you got disappointed and hurt. Well, saints, I was once told that there are more fish in the sea than has ever been caught living for Christ. Keep it moving. Keep it real. Saints, every time David went through a rough place, he turned to the Lord for refuge and solace. He turned to the Lord. He didn't turn to anything else. He didn't turn to other things. He turned to the Lord. You know, when you were in the world, you turned to whatever your habit was. But you're in Christ now. And you can't go around looking for love in the wrong places. You're to turn to the Lord for refuge and solace. You're to turn to the Lord for comfort, not to all those other things. You know what I mean. You know. Psalm 142, verse 4. I looked on my right hand and beheld, but there was no man that would know me. Refuge failed me. No man cared for my soul. I cried unto thee, O Lord. I said, thou art my refuge and my portion in the land of the living. The Lord, your refuge and your portion when things go awry? Is he? You know, there are a lot of people that participate in church. And when you say this, oh, yes, yes, yes. But when the fire is on, when the situation comes, they don't act that way. Mm-hmm. Amen? they don't act that way. Oh, yes, 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 I feel that way. But that's not what they do when the heat's on. No one gives me a passing thought. No one will help me. No one cares a bit what happens to me. Of course someone does. But you see, at the moment, you're busy dwelling on your feelings. Perhaps you ought to shift and change that perspective. Amen? So he says, rescue me from my persecutors, for they're too strong for me. I need your help. He called on the Lord. Psalm 62, verse 8. Psalm 62, verse 8. Trust in him at all times. All times. Notice it's an A-L-L there, not a S-O-M-E-T-I-M-E-S. Trust in him at all times, ye people. Pour out your heart before him. God is a refuge for us. Stop and think about that. Actually think about it. Amen? Trust him at all times. Doesn't matter what's going on, how horrible it looks, the outcome looks terrible, doesn't look like it's ever going to turn around. Trust him at all times. You know, I recently got a piece of news that was very shocking and stunning. Tell you the truth, it left me kind of numb when I first got it. So I remember I was standing in the bathroom facing the shower curtain, and I said to myself, okay, what am I supposed to say now? Because I couldn't think of a thing to say, not to myself or to the Lord. And out from within me, all of a sudden, I heard myself saying, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. And I began to thank the Lord for the situation. I thanked him for what happened, how it happened, when it happened, the way it happened. I thanked him for all of it. I just went on, I just kept going for a good bit. And then I went to sleep in peace. You see, you actually have to hide the word in your heart so that you don't sin against the Lord. You actually have to have hidden it there so when the time and the need comes, it springs forth as a well of salvation springing up in you to remind you, to bring to remembrance what the Lord has said. So that you can what? Just listen to him say it? No, so you can do it. He's ready to move, but you have to do your part. Deuteronomy 33:27. Deuteronomy chapter 33, verse 27. The eternal God is thy refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms. His arms don't fail, saints. They never have. They never will. He doesn't allow you to fall through his arm. And he shall thrust out the enemy from before thee, and shall say, destroy them. Now, either you're going to believe the Lord or you're not. Your choice. Your choice. 2 Samuel chapter 22, verse 3. 2 Samuel chapter 22, verse 3. The God of my rock, in him will I trust. He is my shield and the horn or the power of my salvation, my high tower and my refuge, my Savior. Thou savest me from violence. Well, saints, God's calling us to trust him no matter what happens. And you see, some of us are still learning that. I think all of us are at different levels. But some of us really need to get it down. Because some of us, no matter how we try to put on a good presentation, deep down in the crevices of our heart, we don't trust the Lord yet. And so God will sit and wait for you to finally decide to trust him with all of your heart. He's very serious about this, extremely serious. He'll hold up a promotion for years and years and years until you learn to trust him. It's mandatory. It's obligatory. You don't get out of this one. He'll let you go all the way till you're about to take your last breath. You've got to learn to trust the Lord. Some of you, I've heard say, I have a hard time doing that. Well, if I were you, I would see to it that that changed about me. Psalm 9, verse 9, Psalm 9, verse 9. The Lord also will be a refuge for the oppressed, a refuge in times of trouble. A refuge in times of trouble. Psalm 46, verse 1. Psalm 46, verse 1. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. But you've got to trust him. Psalm 57, verse 1. Psalm 57, verse 1. Be merciful unto me, O God. Be merciful unto me, for my soul trusteth in thee. Somebody needs to highlight that. My soul trusteth in thee. Yes, in the shadow of thy wings will I make my refuge until these calamities be overpassed. Lord, I'm clinging to you. I'm trusting in you. My confidence, all of my confidence is in you. Psalm 59, verse 16. Psalm 69, I'm sorry, correction, 59, verse 16. But I will sing of thy power. Yes, I will sing aloud of thy mercy in the morning. For thou hast been my defense and refuge in the day of my trouble. You know, I know I've talked to a lot of people over the years that have had a lot of different problems. And some of them, they are focused on everything that's wrong. And others say, well, this isn't right and that isn't right. But this is what the Lord has done. He's done this. He's done this. He's done this. He's done this. And they express their loving gratitude to him. They express their loving gratitude to him for what he has done and for all that he's doing that they can't perceive yet. Which kind of person are you? Only you know the answer to that. Psalm 62, beginning with verse 7. Psalm 62, beginning with verse 7. In God is my salvation and my glory, the rock of my strength, and my refuge is in God. Trust in him at all times, ye people. Pour out your heart before him. God is a refuge for us. Psalm 91, verse 2. Psalm 91, verse 2. I will say of the Lord, this will be my testimony, what I have to say about God. He is my refuge and my fortress, my God. In him will I trust. When David felt all alone, when he was separated from his loved ones, he drew close to God. When David was alone, when he was separated from his loved ones, David drew close to God. Psalm 38, beginning with verse 10. Psalm 38, beginning with verse 10. My heart panteth, my strength faileth me. As for the light of mine eyes, it also is gone from me. My lovers and my friends stand aloof from my sword, and my kinsmen stand afar off. David felt that everybody had forsaken him, that nobody cared about him, that he was just going to just dissipate into nothingness. But you see, that wasn't the truth. There were people right around him that cared. But he was too focused on how he was feeling to notice. Mm-hmm. Proverbs. I missed one. Verse 15. Psalm 38, verse 15. For in thee, O Lord, do I hope. Thou wilt hear, O Lord my God. You'll hear me. I'm not just talking to myself. God's listening to me. God's listening. Proverbs chapter 18 gives us a clue on how to begin again. A man that hath friends must show himself friendly, and there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. You want God to be your friend? Well, show yourself friendly to him. The Gospel of John, chapter 14, verse 18. The Gospel of John, chapter 14, verse 18. Jesus promises this. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. But when he comes, don't reject him. Don't reject him out of your anger, out of your hurt, out of your bitterness, out of your unbelief. Don't reject him. You see, Jesus went through this too. The Gospel of John, chapter 16, beginning with verse 32. John 16, beginning with verse 32. Behold, the hour cometh, yes, is now come, that ye shall be scattered, every man to his own. Everybody going his own way. And shall leave me alone. And yet I am not alone. Jesus said that? That's right. And yet I am not alone. Because the Father is with me. Can you say that? You should be able to. Jesus goes on to say to us, these things I have spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In the world you shall have tribulation. Yes, you're going to have troubles in the world. But be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Saint, Jesus Christ said for you to be of good cheer. But will you obey him? Will you? Someone needs to go downstairs in your apartment building and just stand there and smile at people and say, Merry Christmas. You don't have to give out tracts or cookies or anything else. Just stand there, smile, and say Merry Christmas to all. That's right. So what if you don't have any money? You don't need any to do this. You just need to get out of yourself and your problems and your issues and your circumstances and what you've been thinking. You need to get out of your box because you see, your box can become a prison to you if you allow it. And you need to cancel your pity party. That's right. There's a time to cancel a party when it's a pity party. And allow the Lord to use you in the land of the living. If so. But you see, you have to make a choice. It's your choice. You can allow the enemy to have a heyday with you, or you can overcome. It's up to you. It's your choice. The Bible still says, give and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down and shaken together and running over, shall men give into your bosom. For with the same measure that ye meet withal, it shall be measured to you again. The Bible still says, the liberal soul shall be made fat, and he that watereth shall be watered also himself. The Bible still says, fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed. For I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. Yes, I will help thee. Yes, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. The Bible still says that men ought always to pray and not to faint or give up. And when you wake up tomorrow morning, God willing, the Bible's still going to say just that. So, in Deuteronomy chapter 31, beginning with verse 6, Deuteronomy chapter 31, beginning with verse 6, the Lord says this to you, be strong and of a good courage. Fear not, nor be afraid of them. For the Lord thy God, he it is that doth go with thee. He will not fail thee nor forsake thee. Well, if Paul could depend on these words, why can't you? They worked for him. They worked for Peter. They'll work for you. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 18, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Yes, in everything give thanks first. It'll help set your mouth in the right order. And this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. You see, you're not the only person that had to go through something. Jacob in Genesis 28, beginning with verse 16. Genesis 28, beginning with verse 16. Jacob. And Jacob awakened out of his sleep, and he said, surely the Lord is in this place, and I knew it not. And he was afraid and said, how dreadful is this place? There is none other but the house. This is none other but the house of God. And this is the gate of heaven. And Jacob rose up early in the morning and took the stone that he had put for his pillows and set it up for a pillar and poured oil upon the top of it. And he called the name of that place Bethel, Bethel, the house of God. And Jacob vowed a vow, saying, if God will be with me and will keep me in this way that I go, and will give me bread to eat and raiment to put on, so that I come again to my father's house in peace, then shall the Lord be my God. And this stone, which I have set for a pillar, shall be God's house. And of all that thou give me, I will surely give the tenth unto thee. I'll let you meditate on that. God saying a lot in that passage. Jacob got out of his sleep. He woke up. And he began to reverence the Lord. He began to worship the Lord early in the morning. He made a vow to the Lord. Think about that. Think about it. Psalm 103, beginning with verse 1. Psalm 103, beginning with verse 1. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. And all that is within me, bless his holy name. Oh, bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfies thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. Are you blessing the Lord? Are you? With a heart of thanksgiving, are you blessing the Lord? Psalm 34, verse 18. Psalm 34, verse 18. We talked about this, that the Lord is close to those that have a broken heart. Well, in Psalm 147, verse 3, he says he healeth the broken in heart. He bindeth up their wounds. Doesn't sound to me like they're going to get to stay broken in heart. not as long as he's their God. Because he has a plan. And his plan is to heal the brokenness in their hearts and to bind up their wounds. He has a plan. Will you allow his plan in your life? Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it issues of life. If you allow that hurt to stay there for the next decade or so, out of everything you do in life, that hurt will pour forth. That's right. The fragrance of your hurt will come out of your words and every action and everything you attempt to do. Allow the Lord to heal you. Amen. In Jeremiah, the Lord says, I will turn their mourning into joy and will comfort them and make them rejoice from their sorrow. He'll change things when you do it his way. Psalm 56, verse 11. In God have I put my trust. I will not be afraid what man can do unto me. I've put my trust in the Lord. There's nothing man can really do. Psalm 118, verse 17. Psalm 118, verse 17. I shall not die but live and declare the works of the Lord. I'm not getting ready to roll over and die, devil. Forget that. I'm going to live, and I'm going to declare the work of the Lord in Jesus' name. But you have to make the statements like that your own. You have to own them yourself. Psalm 107, verse 20. Psalm 107, verse 20. He sent his word and healed them and delivered them from their destructions. Sound like he's got a plan. Isaiah 53, verse 5. He was wounded for our transgression. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. He paid for you to have peace. He paid for you to sleep at night. Don't deny him. And with his stripes, we are healed. He says again in Jeremiah, for I will restore health unto thee, and I will heal thee of thy wounds, saith the Lord, because they call thee, saying, this is Zion, whom no man seeketh after. Saints, you have a choice to make. You have some decisions to come to. You have to decide if you're going to continue to believe that you're all alone, or if you're going to receive the truth of the Word of God and live by it and cling to it. I pray that you choose to listen to God and to believe him. Amen? There are a lot of scriptures that you were given, and you need to look them up, and you need to place them in your heart. Because the day is going to come, just like it happened to me the other day, you're going to need that word to speak up and talk to you when you don't know what to say and when you're not sure what to do. Amen. This is the living word of God. It's not dead letter on a page to us. Through his love letter, the Holy Scriptures. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I pray that you got something out of that. And I hope that you can say, I am not alone. Amen?
Amen.
So we're going to go to our guest call-ins. The phone number is area code 319-527-6235. And as soon as I finish moving this little thing around here. Amen. Amen. Let me see if I can find what I'm looking for. Half the time when I'm looking for it. Gadgets. All right now. I didn't ask for all that other stuff. I want what I want. Well, Lord, you'll help me find it. Amen. You'll help me find it. You'll help me find it. Amen. Amen. You will help me find it. Praise the Lord. All right. Let me see here. Yeah. Give me a second, thanks. I got to make a slight adjustment. I got to make a slight adjustment. Amen. So I hope thing out of this message tonight, I hope that in the multitude of words that you heard the voice of the Lord speaking to you. That's important. It's always important to listen for the Lord talking to you. Amen. It's always important. Always. So, I pray. Okay, I know what to do. Cut this short. here it is. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Got it. Okay, praise God. All right, we're ready for our guest call-in. In area code 8138, we're coming to you in Jesus' name.
Greetings in Jesus' name to all. This is Vanessa. I am just calling for two things. First thing, I have a testimony. I've posted in the prayer room, my mom is in the hospital and going through a thing, or in AKA a stroke. She suffered a massive stroke, but I don't even know where to start. But as far as my testimony, I just thank God that she's still here and all of that. But as for me, Monday I went to work, and, you know, I've been going through a lot of things, a lot of stuff. And I was so caught up, just like what Pastor was saying tonight, I was just caught up in all the worries, and I was like, you know, even though the scriptures say we should cast our cares upon the Lord, it was so much stuff coming at me, and I was just like more, you know, kind of blaming myself for a lot of stuff, and I created an open door, and I ignored the open door because I was just all about, you know, thinking. And then for the first time in a long time, as I can remember myself, fear. And it's funny you're talking about this tonight, fear. I have never experienced such a feeling, because even when I was in the world before Christ, I was always just a bold person in your face. That's how I am. And when I tell you that fear crippled me so bad that I felt like I was going to pass out, I was so sick. And then I heard the scriptures, 2 Timothy 1 and 7. I was like, I know I probably know that scripture. So I just kind of moved myself away from everyone, and then I went and looked at the scripture, and then I realized it says, "For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but one of power, love, and a sound mind." And then another thing came up in my spirit. I went in the archives, and from one of Pastor Pat and Dr. Sabrina, they have multiple things, multiple teachings on fear. And one of them in particular, I don't know why I chose the one I chose, but it was one where Pastor Pat was asking Dr. Sabrina a couple of, it's almost like she was interviewing her, but it wasn't. She was just saying, "Dr. Sabrina, what happened when this happened? What happened when that?" And Dr. Sabrina was answering. And it really helped me a lot. So I used that teaching and delivered myself from the spirit of fear that same night. Because guys, our saints, brothers and sisters, fear is not something you want to walk with. I have never been afraid of nothing because I've always been this way. But this fear gripped me so bad that I was like shaking in my boots. I was shaking. I was dealing with people, and I was very fearful. I was like afraid. I was looking behind me. I was trembling, and I just couldn't shake that feeling. But as I started, you know, going through the teaching on there, I kind of pulled away myself. Thank God for Jesus. I never had any more calls after that, and I started going through. And I kept on repeating, "God had not given me the spirit of fear." You know, and I said, you know, "I cast the spirit of fear under my feet," you know. And I just was quoting, you know, the scripture. I kept saying it over and over and over. And then I just felt it left me. And because of that archive, I was led to go there. And I went in that archive. I never even gave that a thought before. And, you know, that same very night I was delivered from the spirit of fear. That you don't want that. When I tell you I couldn't think, I couldn't do nothing. I was just fearful. I was trembling. I was, like, literally shaking in my boots. I've never experienced nothing like that. And I had to cast that thing out in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. And I just thank the Lord for the archive. I thank the Lord for all of that stuff. And I just say, you know what? Sometimes we focus too much on our problem, and instead of giving it to the Lord, like he said, and he commanded us in Joshua 1:9. He didn't just put it there. He said, "Have I not commanded you, Vanessa Elliott? Have I not commanded you to be strong and of a good courage, and to not be afraid, neither be thou dismayed, because the Lord thy God is with you, whithersoever you goest." I know those scriptures out of my head by heart. I know them. But what fear did to me, I was so fearful, I could not even think. I just wanted to run away and hide, okay? I was, like, terrified. I was, like I said, I was talking to people, and I was just, like, very fearful. I was, like, looking around. I was, like, I could feel my guts, like, the insides of me turning upside down. And I said, you know what? This has never happened to me before. That's a feeling you don't want. It's nasty. And it grips you, it paralyzes you. So, guys, just like Pastor was saying tonight, God never give us the spirit of fear. And I just thank the Lord for deliverance. And it's a good thing, I took back my authority according to Luke 10:19. I took it back, and I walk in that authority. And I just want to give God the glory, the honors, and the praises. But nonetheless, Pastor, I'm just asking for prayer for any remnants of that.
Amen. Father, Amen. In the name of Jesus, we thank you that you brought our sister through. We thank you, Lord, that she was allowed to experience that. So when she comes across someone who has a similar experience, she can tell them what to do. How can she do that? Because she was successful in her warfare. She listened to you. She did what you told her to do, and she overcame. So we want to thank you that she overcame by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of her testimony.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
We want to thank you for that, Lord. We give you the praise.
Thank you, Lord.
And we pray that others that have experienced it and did not overcome will go back and repent and forsake the spirit of fear. And will humble themselves before you and receive of your mercy, your grace, and your deliverance. Because deliverance is the children's bread.
Hallelujah.
So, Father, we thank you for the grace that rests upon our sister. We thank you for your power in her life. We thank you for the word of God working mightily in her in the name of Jesus.
Thank you, Lord.
You know, Lord, there are all kinds of situations that the enemy will present.
to throw us off course. But it becomes a place of overcoming if we allow you to be in control. You spirit that attacked her, we command you and all your other underlings to come out of her now in Jesus' name. Come out of her. You have no right to be there. You've been bound. She doesn't want you. She's evicted you. Go into the cage to the feet of Jesus for judgment. Father, we thank you for taking this deliverance to completion in Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus, thank you.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Take a deep breath and let the Spirit of God fill you and the holy fire of God fill you. And run the rest of those spirits out in Jesus' name. Take a deep breath, release your
prayer. Hallelujah. To the Prince of Peace. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. We praise you, Lord.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
God
be the glory.
We love you. Amen. We bind spirits of intimidation attacking God's people. Area code 614, you're on the air live in Jesus' name.
Hi, it is Pastor Sabrina. I'll say my name. Nothing to lose this tomorrow. Any prayer, you know. The devil tried to steal my children, and I'm just going to, I'm really not going to hold back here. Usually I'm kind of reserved, I'm not going to say anything, you know, against Jesus Christ, but I'm just going to come out and stand here, excuse me, which is being attacked with a pedophile. And, you know, I am, I've forgiven Jesus' name, I got to stand now. Because I cannot protect my children. I know that I am not Jesus. I know I'm not. But as a mother, you know, it's very hard. I know that we've gone through, I mean, things that are not, don't even seem like they're real. And it's sadistic abuse and ritual abuse and everything like that. And to be told I'm a liar, I'm a liar. And things didn't happen, and I'm just drained. I am drained. And I can't protect my children. And out of all of it, that's the only thing that matters matters to me. I mean, the pedophile and his parents and all their wickedness and everything that they have done, I do forgive them. I forgive them, but it is wrong. It is wrong here what is happening, and we need the justice of Jesus Christ because there's this, we just need the justice of Jesus Christ here. There's so many things that happen, and I'm listening to recordings of my child saying how this man has touched him and abused him and all these things, and it's just like, oh well, and it makes me very angry. I forgive all the time because I do not want to hold the hate or whatever, but it makes me so just how the Bible says that righteous indignation, I don't know if I'm pronouncing it right, but it makes me mad that an abuser is allowed to just allowed to do whatever, and I can't help them. There's nothing I can do all the counseling that you gave him about the abuse, everything that's happened over years and years. It's just like, oh, it doesn't matter. Well, to Jesus, it matters. And that's the thing. To Jesus Christ, what he's done has mattered. And Jesus has seen every one of the wicked deeds and all their wickedness. And I'm asking for the Lord for his righteous judgment. I am asking for it. My children belong to Jesus Christ. They do not belong to the devil. And that's just the way it is. They belong to Jesus, and he has promises for them. And right as this was happening, okay, I could sense it. Like, I could just literally sense, you know, when the Lord, the Holy Spirit shows you stuff, I could sense it. And I'm looking back over things I was saying, and it was just like, I remember I had told him, like a week or two ago, I was crying, and I said, no matter what, you know that I love you and that Jesus has a plan for you. And I don't even know why I was, you know, I don't even know why I was saying it. But, you know, it's not supposed to be that way. And that's just the way it is. So I'm asking for Jesus to do something. And not only that, you sit and rip the church apart. You rip people apart who have helped your children and have years after years. So it's beyond, this is a beyond personal. It's evil, it's wicked, it's sadistic, it's satanic. It's every wicked thing you could mention, and then sit there and lie. Sit there and lie. I don't care what you said in a court of law. Jesus seen everything he did. He's seen every nasty thing, and I'm asking for judgment. I'm tired of being told that I am a liar. I'm tired of being told these things didn't happen when I know they happened, when they happened to me, and I'm just very tired of it. So I'm sorry that I apologize if I got loud or whatever, but I really need Jesus to help my children, and I need prayer for myself because I'm mentally just drained from all of this, just being told, like, you're a liar, this didn't happen, just over and over and over, and you're constantly fighting, trying to prove yourself. Well, look, here, it doesn't matter, but I know that Jesus seen every single thing. He's seen every single thing, and according to Job 31:11, I'm asking for his righteous judgment. I'm asking for his righteous judgment to be rendered and him to bring my children back home in Jesus' name.
Father, in the name of Jesus, we come before your throne seeking grace and mercy to help in the time of need. You have already given us precious promises out of your word, and this is not all. The matter with Brother Bill, and this is not all. And the matter with our bodies, this is not all. And the matter with all of the attacks against the members of the ministry, this is not all. And the attacks against everyone who has attempted to support and help our sister, this is not all. And Lord, I could go on and on, but you already know. And you have told me that this is in your hands. So we know that the righteous judge loves justice and judgment because the word says so. So we come into agreement with the adjudication of the Godhead in Jesus' name. And with every scripture that you have given us, Lord, over the years concerning this matter. And we know that victory belongs to Jesus. We know that victory belongs to you, and that you will do that is right, because you are the righteous one. We give you faith. We give you honor. We give you reverence.
and trust you. We ask you, Father, to strengthen our sister. And as for the children, they are yours,
yes,
Lord. They have been from the beginning. We thank you, Father, for your perfect outworking of this matter in Jesus' name. And we give you praise. We give you glory. We ask, Lord, that you cover our sister in your spirit, that you envelop her in your Holy Spirit. And give her comfort and give her encouragement and give her strength and give her peace and allow her to perceive and feel your love and your protection for her and for her children. In Jesus' name, we thank you, Father, for hearing our prayer and for answering. In the name of Jesus, amen.
Amen. Thank you.
Amen. God bless you.
God.
Amen. Well, saints, tonight we have some very serious prayer requests. And the first one has to do with Jackson Women's Health Organization in Mississippi. There is a woman there that was working as a sterilization technician because it's an abortion clinic. And she's been there for many years. Well, now she's taken her case to the Supreme Court in Washington. And today the High Court was scheduled to hear arguments about this particular case. And it centers on a 2018 Mississippi law that seeks to ban abortion after 15 weeks of pregnancy. Well, 15 weeks, you got a person. The Bible says before you entered the womb, he knew you. The law directly contradicts Roe versus Wade, the 1973 Supreme Court decision that protects the right to abortion. By the way, the lady that Roe versus Wade centered upon eventually became a Christian, and she spent the rest of her days working to have Roe versus Wade overturned. So she's gone home to be with the Lord now, and I know that she is still interceding on behalf of this matter. So the Mississippi law cuts that almost in half with a 15-week restriction. So they're going today. This is today this happened. They went before the Supreme Court, and so we're requesting judgments on each Supreme Court justice and all who legally present in the courtroom from the righteous judge himself. You see, it appears that the Supreme Court, how do you want to say it, is already weighted to go a certain way. We already know that Mr. Biden is working to protect Roe versus Wade, even though he claims to be a Catholic. And the Pope patted him on the shoulder and told him to be a good Catholic. Well, you see, the people that I have met that profess to be Catholics are all against abortion. They believe what the Bible says. So you see, that's how it is. So we're going to pray about that tonight. Jay Sekulow, a very noted attorney, is presenting the case
before the Supreme Court. And we are going to pray for them and his legal staff. We're going to bind the witchcraft that's being sent against them, because there is. We're going to ask the Lord to protect their lives and their minds and their spirits. We're going to ask the Lord to judge. We're going to ask the Lord to deal with the heart, the mind, the soul, and the spirit of each justice. That's what we're coming before the Lord to do, you see? What we do here can change the whole world if we will do it as unto the Lord. We're also requesting justice from the righteous judge about some evil that's been going on in this nation. And Republican members of the House Ways and Means Committee have been asking questions of the IRS. And they want to know how IRS has time to harass evangelical Christian groups that are just simply seeking the same tax exemption that everybody else gets. But their tax records are being leaked everywhere. You know, suddenly there's a leak that wasn't there before. So these Christians are being denied a tax-exempt status that other Christians or other church groups or other religious groups have, simply because they don't like them. You know how it is. It's called persecution. So there was this meeting, and there are some Republicans that asked some serious, tough questions. Kind of got stirred up when President Joe Biden has this proposal to spend $80 billion. I want you to picture $80 billion. In your mind right now, $80 billion, not million, billion with a B. Because he wants to double the IRS workforce and grant the federal tax agency new authority to examine the financial records of any business or private individual whenever a transaction worth more than $600 is made into or out of their bank account. Yeah, that's your president. The agency currently has the authority it was given following the 9/11 terrorist attack to examine bank transactions of $10,000 or more. But no, that's not enough. So you see, the IRS has a history of politically abusing its power. And there was a scandal in 2013 under President Barack Obama in which the agency was found to have singled out the Tea Party, some Republicans they didn't like, and evangelical nonprofit applicants for extreme delays, unjustified denials. In fact, I know of a few ministries they came in, and they wanted to audit every single thing from the time the ministry was started until the present time. Every single thing. It took them years, and they never found a thing. But that's the IRS. So you see, we need to pray about these things. Also, we're requesting an adjudication from the righteous judge because someone in the government, Mr. Attorney General Merrick Garland, decided to refer to parents as domestic terrorists. Well, why would he do such a thing? Well, you see, the parents were going to the school board meetings, and they were protesting what's being taught to their children in school. They don't want their children to be taught critical race theory and other loaded social issues. They think that's overreach for the schools, and it is. You see, there are things that are supposed to be taught by the home and by the church. But Mr. Garland, who was
brought to notable significance by the former Barack Obama president. He released this memo. Here it is. You know, Sanballat is back. He never left. And he claims that the Department of Justice needed to address violent threats against school officials. And he needs to deal with harassment, intimidation, and threats of violence, and so on and so forth. But he doesn't give any examples of such. He just made this loose allegation. We need to pray about that. Then we need to pray about this other issue. In 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 20, Timothy is told to avoid profane and vain babblings and oppositions of science falsely so-called. Well, we're requesting an adjudication from the righteous judge on Mr. Fauci. Mr. Fauci recently pronounced to the whole world that he represents science. And, of course, he was told by several of the senators that he was just outright wrong. He has decided, as a public health bureaucrat, that he can overlook everything that goes on in science because he's science. He's representing science. What do you think? He's trying to move himself to God status, actually. So, he also is in trouble with these senators because he lied to them. And he said that they didn't have anything to do with gain-of-function funding, research in China. Yes, it has everything to do with this COVID mess. So the agency, the National Institutes of Health, finally admitted that they did do something, but they didn't admit that they did something wrong. So we're going to pray in the name of Jesus, and we're going to trust the Lord to act. And we have seen over the years that that's exactly what God does. He acts. When we pray, he answers our prayer. Are you ready, Brother Marshall?
By the grace of God, thank you, Lord, for your mercy. Wow. Thank you that your arms are not too short to save, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for your hand reaching down and plucking us out, all those in harm's way, Father. I'm in agreement with all this prayer request that Sabrina so eloquently presented them, Father, in Jesus' name. And you said, call upon the name of the Lord and you'll be delivered. Call upon the name of the Lord and you'll be saved. You said, whosoever, I'm a whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Lord, deliver us all. Deliver all the children. We've been praying for all the children, not just Sister Marla's children. All the children, Father. The children of the schools, children all over the globe, not just this nation, Father God. Every nation, Father God. From harm's way, the Aborigines in Australia that are being jabbed against the will of their families, against their own will, Father God. This is just, you know what it is, Father. So you said, call upon the name of the Lord and you'll be saved. And you said, if two of you on earth agree to touch anything you ask, it shall be done to my Father which is in heaven. And we know, Father, you sent your Son, the Lord Jesus, to be the Savior of the world. That's what it says in your word in 1 John chapter 4, Lord. So we ask you, Father, and since it's your will, the will of our Savior, the Lord Jesus, and he is the only Savior, that's the only name under heaven whereby we must be saved. And that name, the name above all names, the name who has all power in heaven and earth, he's Lord of all. And we thank you for giving him all that power, Father God. He is Lord of all, just like he said. And he cannot lie. It's impossible for God to lie. He is the way, the truth, and the life. And he says that you, Father, have given him all power in heaven and in earth. He has all power in heaven and in earth in Jesus' name. And he's the Lord of lords and King of kings. And we thank you, Father God, for your divine intervention, adjudication in every single one of these situations, Father God, in Jesus' name, because of the blood of the covenant. We ask, Father God, put down, but concerning the situation, concerning the high probability of overturning Roe versus Wade. Of course, you can do the most high rules in the kingdom of men. Give it to whomsoever he will. Father, we ask you to move on the hearts of everyone involved, as Sabrina's talked about, including those in the Supreme Court and all those making their arguments and all the things behind the scenes to cause things to be done, with people being blackmailed. Or, well, if you go against what the deep state wants, what all the handlers for this puppet president want, well, then you know what's going to happen to you. We're going to expose what you did with that little boy, that little girl. We got it all on video. We bind every one of those spirits of ungodly fear affecting all those in the judiciary, in every area, Father God, in Jesus' name. All the spirits of ungodly manipulation and control, we bind every spirit of ungodly fear in Jesus' name. The devil controls by fear and pride and rebellion, and we bind you, Satan, all of your underlings, every spirit seeking to kill, steal, and or destroy. We cancel our son. It's not just concerning the situation with sacrificing children to the living, to sacrificing children to Satan. We bind every ungodly spirit associated behind the Roe versus Wade nonsense in Jesus' name. We equitable daughter, Satan, you're bound, or your underlings are bound in Jesus' name, from our position seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, according to Proverbs 18:10. For the name of the Lord is a strong tower, and the righteous run into it and are safe. That's the name above all names, at whose name every knee must bow and every tongue must confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. As is written in Philippians chapter 2, verses 9 to 11, in Romans chapter 14, verse 11, in Isaiah chapter 45, verses 23 to 24, in Jesus' name. In the Lord we have righteousness and strength. He gives us his gift of righteousness. And by that gift, because we've been washed in the blood of the Lamb, because Jesus loved us even while we were sinners, and he hung on that tree, he took our curses. So we're new creatures in Christ, and you, Satan, are under our feet as joint heirs with Christ. You are bound, all your underlings are perpetually, continually bound. We command there be no further flow of power communication from not only the demons in the second heavens, but the bush and the deep, to all those, not just in the Supreme Court, every area concerning all these situations and all the nonsense of forcing the so-called bioweapon or COVID jab or whatever people want to call it, and all the nonsense behind the so-called variants in Jesus' name. We bind every spirit of ungodly fear and manipulation, every mind control spirit. We bind the eye-blocking spirits, the ear-blocking, every ungodly spirit. I bind every spirit of pride, rebellion, idolatry, covetousness, love of this present world. Every spirit of mammon is bound. Every spirit of covetousness is bound. Every spirit behind all those people, behind pharmakia, sorcery, and witchcraft, are all bound in Jesus' name. Every spirit of making sacrifices to Satan, all the spirits of ungodly blood sacrifices are bound in Jesus' name because of the blood of the covenant. No further flow of power communication from the demons. The second heaven is the bush and the deep. To all those we have, our will intercede for individually and corporately in Jesus' name because of the blood of the covenant in Jesus' name. We do that. We ask, Father God, in Jesus' name, get the hand of Satan with foul spirit bound and gagged perpetually, continually in Jesus' name. You're already bound and gagged. For whatever you bind on earth is bound in heaven, as it is written, not only individually for the Christians in Matthew 16:19, but Matthew 18:18, for the body of Christ together in agreement in Jesus' name because of the blood of covenant. You, Satan, are bound. We first bind the storm, and you're bound, Satan. All your underlings are perpetually bound. We request, Father God, as Satan's already bound, all the underlings are bound in Jesus' name. Every ungodly spirit is bound, seeking to kill, steal, and destroy. We request your divine adjudication, Father God, for each Supreme Court member, each justice, and all those involved, and all those behind the scenes, pulling all the little puppet strings in Jesus' name. And we ask for your divine intervention, Father God, that equitable judge, you yourself, the righteous judge, will judge everything yourself, Lord, in Jesus' name, the way you want. For Jesus, you are Lord of all, as it is written in Acts chapter 10. And the government is on your shoulders. And I know this is one of Sister Marla's favorite scriptures, and it's true, because it's written in your word, and you esteem your word above all your name. Heaven and earth was going to change. Yes, it's going to be changed like you change your clothes. It's going to be radically changed. That which can be shaken is shaken. As we were reminded, Pat Holliday told us about it in that scripture to replace the other Friday's blog talk call. We thank you for anointing not only Sabrina, but Pat Holliday and all your saints, and Brother Bill and all your saints, and Sister Trish and all your saints. We give you praise and honor and glory for the anointing that removes and destroys the yoke of the enemy, as it is written in Isaiah 10:27, and it shall come to pass in that day that his burden, the burden of the enemy, shall be taken away from off thy shoulder, and his yoke from off thy neck, and the yoke shall be destroyed because of the anointing. It's not by our power. No, it's the one who's in us. Jesus had power to lay down his life, and he had power to take it up again, and that's what happens, because Jesus says, the word of God says in Leviticus 17:11, the life of the flesh is in the blood, and I've given it to you, saints. I've given it to you upon the altar to make an atonement for your souls. For it is the blood that maketh an atonement for the soul. That's the blood of Jesus. Oh, the blood of Jesus. Oh, the blood of Jesus. And that's where we have that anointing, because we drink into one spirit with our Lord, and we thank you for that, Father, in Jesus' name. It is written in Isaiah chapter 9, "For unto us a child is born, and unto us a son is given, and we receive the Son of the living God, the Lord Jesus. We have received you, Lord, in our hearts, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful." That means Pele, secret. It's also called secret. That fits in with Psalm 91, doesn't it? "His name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace." Yes, he gives us peace in ways that we can't imagine with our heads. No, it's in our hearts. It's in our hearts, we believe. Not in our, we start in the head, but it has to be in the heart. We thank you for sealing us with the Holy Spirit of promise when we believe, and pouring your soul, your life into us, your very spirit into us, Lord. And we thank you for that we overcome the accuser of the brethren by the blood of the Lamb, the word of our testimony. We don't love our natural lives as much as we love Jesus, because he is our life. He has the power of an endless life. He can never, ever, ever die again. And we give you prayer, just like it says in Romans. And we thank you, Lord, for that power of eternal life. We thank you for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. As we have, and we do repent and renounce all sins, continually, instantly, immediately, including taking anxious thought for tomorrow, including carrying grudges, including trying to figure it all out ourselves. Proverbs 3 comes to mind. "Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about thy neck. Write them upon the table of thine heart. So shalt thou find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not unto thine own understanding. All thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. It shall be health to thy navel and marrow to thy bones." Thank you for being our health to our physical bodies and to every part of these temples of the Holy Spirit, including the children, all the children, not just Sister Marla's children, all the children, not just the missionaries in Haiti, all those in harm's way, not those that didn't want to be left behind, the Americans and others that were left behind in Afghanistan. We thank you for delivering each one and all those being subjected to this nonsense, not just for the Roe versus Wade, but all the other nonsense from the IRS, ungodly controls. We ask for your divine intervention, adjudication, Father God, of the righteous judge concerning this nonsense of the IRS and the extra funding. They're creating money out of thin air again. The funding to try and control people. That's all it boils down. We bind every spirit of fascism, communism, all the other isms are bound in Jesus' name because of the bloody covenant. For whom the Lord makes free is free indeed. We're progressively made free more and more. Jesus said to those believed in him, the Jews that believed in him and the Gentiles too, to those that believed in him, "If you continue in my word, you're my disciples indeed, and you'll know the truth, and the truth will make you free." Thank you for the privilege of getting to know you more and more, Lord, as we continue in your word. I thank you for teaching us all. I know your spirit is awesome and amazing, and I thank you for Sabrina's covering so many wonderful verses today, but one verse in particular jumped out at me. It's like I had not heard you this morning. Before I woke up, as I was waking up, and I kept hearing the same scripture over and over, I thought it was in the New Testament. It wasn't. I didn't know where it was, Lord. But it fits with what Sabrina was teaching. It fits with our situation right now. And you said in Proverbs 4:23, "Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life." You told me that those exact words. I heard the words. I know I've heard the word, but I had no idea where it was. I had to look it up. I didn't know where it was. Keep your heart. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. We thank you for that divine help, Lord, that you give by your Spirit. And even as you help me to look at another scripture that ties in, I'm just going to read one other scripture. It's Joshua 22:5. "But take diligent heed to do the commandment and the law which Moses, the servant of the Lord, charged you, to love the Lord your God, to walk in all his ways," to walk humbly, to walk in peace, to walk in love, to walk in the Spirit, "to walk in all his ways and to keep his commandments and to cleave unto him and to serve him with all your heart and with all your soul." Because we don't know what to do. But our eyes are on you, Lord, and your eyes are red with wine, and you're keeping us as the apple of your eye, Father. We thank you for Jesus engraving our names in the palms of your hand, including all the children and all the Christians, all those standing for your truth, Father God, and all those standing for the truth that have not yet come into the kingdom, Father God, not just from the Tea Party and all the other conservative groups, Father God. We thank you for drawing many to the Lord Jesus, Father. We ask you to do so. Wake up the sleeping giant, and we thank you for doing so. We've asked for your divine adjudication in all these areas. We ask you to remove those that will refuse to bow their knees to Jesus. And you know there are many of them, Father God. You don't want an evil speaker to establish in the land. We claim that promise. I think it's Psalm 140. And we don't want an evil attorney general either. We ask you to change either Merrick Garland's heart or replace him, Father God, in Jesus' name. And we thank you, Father God. We know he has an ulterior motive, Father God. We've heard it from many sources, Father God. We ask for your divine intervention to move on those at the Department of Justice and change things in all these different areas being used by the deep state to try and control and intimidate people. We bind every spirit behind ungodly intimidation. Those who do know their God should be strong and do exploits. We thank you, Lord, for helping your children to be strong, not just physically strong, though that doesn't hurt, but to be strong in the spirit. It's not by human might, human parts, by your spirit, like you said in Zechariah chapter 4, verse 6. So we ask you to pour forth of your spirit afresh, because you said in the last days I'll pour forth of my spirit upon all flesh. And we know these in the last days because you said so many times in your word, not only in Hebrews chapter 1 around verse 2 and chapter 9 around verse 28 or 9, somewhere in there, and in Peter, 1 Peter, and 2 Peter 3:3. We know these are the last days, Father God. But you told us to avoid these oppositions of babblings, of oppositions of science, falsely so-called. And that is the perfect verse for this, 1 Peter 6:20, as Sabrina put in here in Jesus' name. We ask you, Father God, to call the senators, not just Rand Paul and Ted Cruz, to actually do what you've called them to do, Father God, and stand against this nonsense of the so-called self-pronounced little god of Fauci. Because we do not worship a false god, whether it's a needle, whether it's so-called scientists, a so-called doctor, every one of these people who are putting forth false science where there's no peer-reviewed proof of what they're saying, like masks. There has never been a study to say it can protect from a virus. In fact, it's the opposite. And with all these, in fact, they say this jab is supposed to help you. It has not saved one person's life, but it's caused more than 18,000 deaths, just according to VAERS. And that's the government's own statistics, which is just 1% or less. We ask for your divine intervention and adjudication from all this nonsense, Father God, against so-called Dr. Fauci, who's not really a doctor. He claims to be a medical doctor. But you know his heart, Father God. And he denied the gain of function, but they actually admitted, as Sabrina pointed out, the National Institute of Health, oh, well, we did do gain of function. What does that mean? We made something that was less dangerous to be more dangerous, something that was not so harmful to human beings to be more harmful to human beings. We took things, we blended them together, we mixed them together. We took things that could only affect animals, we made them be able to affect human beings. And why? There's some people that like to call this by different names other than a vax, because it's not a vax. They had to change the definition to fit their new thing because it doesn't protect. I've had lots of vaccinations. I was in emergency room nurse. I worked in dialysis. I worked in different areas in the hospital. I had lots of, not all the time, but I had many different immunizations. And Father God, I'm so grateful I didn't have some of the side effects I could have had from them, like from the hepatitis B vaccine. I heard about a woman who had terrible side effects, Father God, in Jesus' name. And thank you for your grace. And we know that some of these jabs that were given out were just placebos. We asked for the family members, every believer, they were just placebos. And you can change things, Father God. And you can change the hearts of the people, including the family members who've gone seeking salvation in a needle instead of salvation in the only true and living God who created them, Father God. Because Jesus created everything. Father God, you created everything by your word, by the Lord Jesus. You said that not only in Psalm 33:6, I think it is, where it is, and in Ephesians 6:9, I think that's where it is. Help me, Holy Ghost. Thank you for helping me, Holy Ghost. Thank you, Father God, for not leaving us as orphans. Thank you for the spirit of adoption, Father God, and reminding us of your word in Jesus' name. It's not there. It must be a different place. Is it Philippians? I don't know where it is right now, but the Lord knows where it is. I know Jesus created all things because he did. Things visible and invisible, it says in Colossians 1. Can we thank you for the Colossians 1? 16. For by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers or things all things are created by him and for him. They're created for your purposes, Lord Jesus. We're not here for our own pleasure. We're not here because we can just sip on little whatever it is that people like to sip on. God, about that, we ask you, Father God, to give all those who've interceded for hunger and the thirst for righteousness, Father God, in Jesus' name, and all witchcraft curses sent against each and every one of us, not just Sister Marla's children, but all the children, all the witchcraft curses sent against all the believers and all their family members and all that's coming into the body of Christ are returned at least sevenfold. Continue our petition, the heads of the demons sent in, do to those spirits what they intend to do to us in Jesus' name. We do pray for those, Father God, the human beings that you can save, Father, that you save the souls that can be saved, Father God. Just like when Stephen was being stoned in Acts, Father God, he prayed for all those that were stoned. And Father, he said, don't hold this sin against them. He prayed for those, Father God, because he knows that you love every human being. We know you hate the demons in them, but you love the human beings, and some can be saved. And Pat Holiday has known about many different people, the witch that switched and different people that used to be wizards and stuff, like Bishop Kanko, the real Bishop Kanko, that you got a hold of him, Father God. You sent your Holy Ghost to grab him. You sent your Holy Ghost. You sent the Spirit of the living God to get a hold of Saul of Tarsus on the road to Damascus. We ask you to give many road to Damascus experiences, including those in authority, those that can be changed. We ask you to change their hearts, Father God, in Jesus. And give them new hearts, Father God. Give them new hearts, Father God. Cause them to hunger and thirst for what you want in Jesus' name. And we thank you, Father God, for pouring forth of your Spirit. And continue to speak blindness to the enemy, muteness to the enemy, and they may only hear what Jesus wants them to hear, pertaining to all the saints, all those that are under the shadow of the Most High, in the secret place of the Most High, in Jesus' name. And we thank you for continually delivering each of us and all the children, Father God, in Jesus' name. And it's written in Psalm 27, the Lord is my light and my salvation, whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life, of whom shall I be afraid? In Jesus' name. When the wicked, even mine enemies, my foes, came upon me to eat up my flesh, they stumbled and fell. Amen. The host shall encamp against me. My heart shall not fear. The war shall rise against me, and this will I be confident. One thing have I desired of the Lord. Psalm 27, verse 4. One thing have I desired of the Lord, and that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. Not just some of them, not just Sunday. All the days of my life to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. What, know you not? You're the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you. Praise the Lord. For in the time of trouble, he shall hide me in his pavilion. And all the children, Lord, including Sister Marla's children. For in the time of trouble, he shall hide me in his pavilion. In the secret of his tabernacle shall he hide me. He shall set me up upon a rock. And now, right now, now shall my head be lifted up above mine enemies round about me. Therefore, will I offer in his tabernacle, what? Sacrifices of joy? My goodness. Sacrifices of joy. I will sing, yea, I will sing praises unto the Lord. Hear, O Lord, when I cry with my voice. Have mercy also upon me and answer me. When thou saidest, seek ye my face, my heart said unto thee, thy face, Lord, will I seek. Hide not thy face far from me. Put not thy servant away in anger, for thou hast been my help. Leave me not, neither forsake me. When my father and mother forsake me, then the Lord will take me up. Teach me thy way, O Lord, and lead me in a plain path, because I'm an enemy. Deliver me not over to the will of mine enemy. In Jesus' name, wait on the Lord, it says in the last verse of Psalm 27. Abba, wait on the Lord, for the good courage he shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. We wait on your holy, holy name, Lord. We look to you, Lord. In Jesus' name, we look to you, Lord, the author and finisher of faith. It says in Psalm 52, 8 and 9, but I'm like a green olive tree in the house of God. I trust in the mercy of God forever and ever. Verse 9 is very profound. Psalm 52, verse 9. I will praise thee forever because thou hast done it. I will wait on thy name. For the good for thy name. Look at your name. Wait on your name. And that word wait is common in Hebrew. To bind together a forward look with assurance. We're twisted together like little grapes in a grapevine. Twisted together with the vine, the Lord Jesus. With a little vine, get it? See, with the vine. And we look forward with complete assurance that you know all the victory. You've already won the victory. We give you praise and honor and glory, Lord, because you've already won the victory. In Jesus' name. But I hope you'll have that little victory. Sign on, Lord.
Thank you for hearing our prayers, Father, for your mercy.